Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
In this video, I'll explain three types of caches that you can use in your backend application to improve the performance. If you're interested, stay tuned. What's going on, guys? My name is Hussein, and I discuss backend engineering in this channel mainly. If you're interested in this stuff, check out the other content on this channel, subscribe, hit that like button, and let's just jump into it. So, the idea of introducing a caching mechanism or caching layer in your app is because the mechanism or the cost of obtaining a certain amount of data is costly, is high. You want to introduce a backup fast access so you don't have to go every time through the slow storage. And that could be in case of a database disk, right? Whether this is hard drive or SSD, and you want to replace it with memory, or in case of CPU, the CPU builder build the cache so that memory, they want to avoid memory access because to them, memory access is slower than actual register caching layer in the CPU. So we want, the goal of having a cache is to avoid the extra cost of going to obtain certain information. So that's caching. So the first type of caching is called a spatial cache. And think of a spatial cache as a locality-based cache. That means, hey, you're going to the disk and you are pulling a certain block of data. A spatial cache is thinking, the app will think, says, hey, since I am already took the hit and did that IO, might as well let me get the nearby blocks because I am predicting that a future request will need this spatially located blocks or spatially located data. So that's called a spatial cache. So that means if I'm going there, I might as well just pull this stuff so that I already took the hit. Let me pull nearby located data so that in future requests, if they requested this data, they can benefit of this. One example I'd like to think is like, if I am assembling a table from IKEA, right? And I am assembling it upstairs and all my equipments are downstairs, right? All of a sudden, I need a screwdriver. So I go down and pick up a screwdriver and go up. And then while working, I need an Allen wrench. This weirdly weird thing, that hexagon looking, right? The wrench. So let me go down and pick it up again. And then, I need a drill. Let me go down and pick it up. So if I am smart enough and say, okay, let me look at this table now. I'm going to need an Allen wrench, I'm going to know a screwdriver, and I'm going to need a drill. So let me go once downstairs, pick up all this stuff, and then work on them. So that's an idea. So the trick here is if your backend app can actually predict what is going to need, and that's not necessarily easy by any chance, then it's going to be useful to pull up spatially located things. So when I went back down, here's the screwdriver. Since I'm on, let me get the drill. It's all located, spatially located. So that's the idea here. All right. So that's the first cache, spatial cache. The second type of cache is called temporal cache, and that's related to time. So most frequently used here is I went there and I pulled a piece of data. Okay. And now I cached it. And now you start caching other pieces of data. If I asked for a certain piece of data that is available in my cache, then the most frequent accessed data are getting hot in the cache. They are not discarded. So that's called also a least recently used cache, where the least recently used cache are getting thrown away, while the most recently used cache is getting bubbled up, right? So that's the idea of a temporal cache. So if you're using a piece of data a lot, then you're probably going to use it in the future. So you keep it fresh in the cache, because the cache is going to be only limited, right? It's not going to be infinite. Otherwise, our all problems will be solved, right? So that's one approach. Actually, the CPU uses L1 cache, L2 cache, L3 cache, where this is actually a temporal cache, where if it's frequently asked, it's going to jump to the faster cache. I forgot which the faster cache is, the L1 or L3. It's going to pass to the faster cache, the smaller one, which is the faster access. If it's not frequently used, going to bump down all the way down. So that's essentially the second type, temporal. So the third type of caching is called distributed caching, which is a combination of both. But the trick here is you need to keep cache in sync with the main data store. And most popular here is Redis, right? You have a central cache, Redis or Memcached, and now when you want to read a piece of information, your cache is empty. You go to the disk and you pull a piece of info, and then you populate the cache with it. So next time, if you want to read an information, you ask Redis or ask your distributed cache, "Hey, do I have this information?" Well, yes, I do. Here it is. No. I don't go to the disk because, yeah, you don't have it, but the disk must have it, right? So now it go to the disk and then pull it. And here's where it gets really tricky, because keeping the cache in sync with the main data store is one of the hardest problems that backend engineers face, and frontend engineers if they have similar cache in the frontend. So that's why there are two types of caching here, and I'm gonna make another dedicated video for this. So this is especially when you're actually trying to write to disk and update your cache and keeping this cache in sync. So two methods so far we know about. There is one called write through cache, where if you want to update your data store, you first do it in the cache itself. Look at this. So you update your cache and synchronously block the client that is writing to write also to the IO disk immediately, right? So there are many implementation AWS doing differently. You can do it differently. So I know AWS have like something called I think set aside or something like that, where the application is aware of both, right? Just the write through cache, where the app writes to the cache and turn around and also write to the data store at the same time. So the app is aware. There is another type of write through cache where you write to Redis or you write to this cache and you also synchronously block, but the cache turn around and actually writes to the disk. So it's almost, it is a true write through cache. So this is the first type of write-through cache, which is kind of nice, because now if you want to query, you always query the cache, and you can guarantee almost that the cache is going to have all your data, right? Because all the latest data. The other type of the distributed cache there is called write-back cache, which is almost asynchronous. So you write cache, you write to the cache, and then that's it. You trust that the cache, you're done immediately. The cache will asynchronously write back to the data store. A write back cache is way more complex to implement. That's the second type, where essentially you're going to write always to the cache, but once you write to the cache, you are essentially done. However, it's the cache store job to mark these pages or data that you just written in the cache as dirty, as being edited. And now the cache is responsible to take all these dirty pages and then flush them back to the disk. Now, there are lots of implementation where how can you guarantee persistence in this model? Because if you write to the cache and the cache destroyed in memory, that's a big problem. You just lost one of the ACID properties, which is durability. It's not durable with write back, right? So that's one problem. Again, I'm not going to go into details about these two types. I'm going to dedicate a different videos specifically designed to talk about distributed caching and all this limitation, all that stuff. All right, guys, hope you learned a few things in this video. If you like this video, hit a like, and I'm going to see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.